From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. The planned Bayer-Monsanto merger announced Wednesday is raising concerns that research key to developing new seed traits and other breakthroughs could be slowed. The Washington Post reports the $66 billion Bayer-Monsanto deal could reshape farming, further concentrating the nation's seed and agrochemical industry while reducing choice and stifling innovation needed to feed a growing world. Regulators could stop the deal over antitrust concerns, but if it goes through, the Post reports the new seed and chemical giant could limit the entry of smaller firms and their innovations. American Farm Bureau senior economist Bob Young will testify at a Senate hearing next week on industry consolidation and predict some possible issues with genetic licensing.
You're probably going to need to get down and look at individual chemistries, individual seed trait licensing, et cetera, say who controls how much in some of those, and, maybe come back and talk about, requiring some divestiture of some of these lines.
On the flip side, though, Young says there are advantages to consolidation.
You know, pretty significant regulatory costs associated with bringing a product to market. There's some efficiency gains to be had here, I think, by doing this combination of both chemicals as well as genetics within the same company.
Senate Judiciary Chair Chuck Grassley, who called the ag consolidation hearing next Tuesday, argues antitrust regulators must be ever more vigilant to ensure competition amid an increasingly weak ag economy. Now, Grassley's invited top officials from Monsanto, Bayer Crop Science North America, Syngenta, Dow AgriSciences, and DuPont to testify, as well as AFB, NFU, and National Corn Growers. He also invited the head of the American Antitrust Institute. Well, we're going to take a break here. However, when we come back, American agriculture poised for substantial growth if we can open the Cuban market. That's next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, as well as Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. While American agriculture is poised for substantial growth in the Cuban market, but financing restrictions are placing U.S. farmers and ranchers at a serious disadvantage in this nearby market. The House Ag Committee held a hearing this week to look into the possibilities of removing agricultural trade barriers for Cuba. AFBF trade specialist Dave Salmonson said Farm Bureau sees a lot of opportunities for agriculture if trade with Cuba can open up in the future.
Well, yes, we are. We did submit a statement urging Congress having to take a hard look at some of the restrictions we're dealing with in our agricultural trade opportunities with Cuba, and the hearing was set up to investigate those and particularly look at issues of agricultural export financing.
Now, a limited exemption in the trade embargo was set up in 2000 to allow for agricultural goods to be sold in Cuba. However, the way that financing of the trade deals was set up makes it difficult for the U.S. to move products through there consistently.
There was a piece in there that said that there couldn't be any export credits offered, meaning Cuba has to pay cash. Well, that's put us in a bit of a competitive disadvantage over the years. Well, all the other countries of the world can allow for credit sales, which is normal in trade. And so we're certainly happy the House Agriculture Committee is taking a hard look at this.
Salmonson says there are a lot of opportunities for agricultural trade in Cuba.
Cuba imports over $2 billion. Worth of food and ag products every year for their 11 million people. Currently, U.S. agriculture sells about $150, $160 million a year into those markets. And we had a high of a few years ago of almost $700 million. So we're kind of falling behind and certainly behind our major competitors.
Farm Bureau says there's no better time to provide American farmers and agribusinesses the tools they need to expand agricultural imports into Cuba and help our industry survive difficult economic environments. Well, the National Pork Producers Council held its national fly-in this week in Washington, D.C. American Farm Bureau, as well as the National Farmers Union, also did that. Well, when it comes to the Pork Producers Council, TPP is at the top of their conversations with their senators and representatives. Over 130 producers from 20 states pressed their congressional lawmakers to push for a vote on the Trans-Pacific Partnership this year. They also want funding for a foot-and-mouth vaccine bank, including the next farm bill. Farm families also asked their congressional representatives to oppose the U.S. Department of Agriculture regulation, the GPSA rule, that would restrict the buying and selling of livestock. NPPC President John Dyer of Iowa says those three issues are very important to pork producers, but getting TPP passed in the lame duck session of Congress is the primary issue they're working on. During the Capitol Hill visit, producers are stressing just how much of a negative impact not passing TPP would have to one of the fastest-growing regions in the world. We can't just walk away from this deal, according to Weber. But we also lose market share in 11 other TPP countries, and that means lost jobs and a devastating impact on the economy. Also, the House Ag Committee passed a bill on Wednesday that'll change the Packers and Stockyards Act with regards to electronic transactions. H.R. 5883 clarifies the duties related to services offered in connection with the buying and selling livestock through online, video, and other electronic methods. The MeetingPlace.com website says the bill also updates acceptable payment methods, including electronic fund transfers, as well as gives the Secretary of Agriculture the ability to approve other payment methods in the future as they are needed. All right, we'll take another break here. However, when we come back, we're going to talk Precision Ag, an adjuvant that's available with dicamba-based herbicides. That's next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, as we mentioned before we took the break, a new adjuvant by Precision Laboratories is going to help spray applicators maximize spray applications and performance of glyphosate and dicamba-based herbicides. Intact Extra is a premixed product that includes a unique water conditioning system. Jim Reese, Senior Vice President of Product Development for Precision Laboratories, says Intact Extra is designed to integrate with spray nozzle systems to optimize coverage and performance.
Nozzles are actually specified with or for a specific herbicide or specific tank mix. And keeping that in mind, we were able to develop Intact Extra to actually integrate with the nozzles that are most likely to be chosen for the dicamba-based herbicides or 2,4-D-based herbicides, and then build additional adjuvancy, so water conditioning, better droplet deposition, retention on the leaf surface of larger droplets, and then coverage so that we can optimize the entire application experience.
He says Intact Extra is unique because it's able to manage the necessary critical success factors to optimize herbicide performance.
Really what makes it unique is the fact that it was actually optimized for integration with the Turbo T and induction nozzles, which will be specified for dicamba applications, and quite truthfully, dicamba and glyphosate itself. So it's able to manage all three of those critical success factors that we need to control to optimize the performance and on-target placement of our herbicide application.
Reese adds Intact Extra is the centerpiece for Precision Laboratories' Total Spray Droplet Management Initiative.
We talk a lot about total spray droplet management. So if you start thinking that just spraying dicamba in the future is all about drift control, it's not. It's so much more than that. In every situation, we need to think about best management practices, and that really comes down to total spray droplet management. So it is really shifting our paradigm and thinking about what is it going to take from us to, you know, of an integrated system. So matching the right nozzle selection with the right herbicide, with the right adjuvant, so that we get everything that we want. Excellent weed control and reduced risk of off-target movement.
Now, if you want more information on Intact Extra or other Precision Laboratories products, you can visit precisionlab.com. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Donald Trump. You've never heard of him, have you? Well, his advisor is talking agriculture. We all know not much agriculture talked about in this presidential race, but we'll talk about it next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, we're wrapping up what's going on inside agriculture. Well, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's senior advisor Sam Clovis spoke with reporters after an agriculture roundtable discussion this week and said crop insurance needs to be protected as a matter of national security. That's what he told reporters. You can pay for 100% of a natural disaster, or you can go out and pay 50% to either make it sure it doesn't happen or protect the people from it happening. He thinks crop insurance would be an important part of any farm bill they'd approach if Trump wins the election. Some conservative groups, like the Heritage Foundation, aren't happy to hear that. Josh Shule helped author the Heritage Foundation report, calling for an end to crop insurance and commodity price supports. He said for someone who's gained support running against Washington insiders, the ag interests are some of the most Washington insiders there are. Regarding Trump's hardline stance on immigration, Clovis said ag groups will have a seat at the table to help us go forward with these issues. But we will enforce the laws of this country. While the beef cow herd and beef production continue to increase, AgWeb.com said with three quarters of 2016 done, beef production's up 5% over last year and will continue to post monthly gains for the rest of this year and into 2017. Now, not only are the numbers of cattle growing, but they're getting bigger as well. Weight data is showing steers are 4 pounds heavier than last year and heifers are 8 pounds larger than a year ago. There's no question an increase in beef production will weigh on market prices. The good news is beef exports continue to improve, with July exports up 8%. And Sterling Marketing is forecasting an 8% gain on the year. Another 6% gain in exports is the forecast for 2017. Now, this goes hand in hand with lower beef imports into the U.S. Imports should drop 13% this year and another 11% in 2017. Well, we've got a House Ag Committee meeting coming up on Tuesday. And as a matter of fact, it's going to be on the Big Six becoming the Big Three. Chuck Grassley, Judiciary Chair, is going to run that meeting. American Farm Bureau Federation, National Farmers Union, as well as the National Pork Producers Council will be at that meeting. And also, we're going to be talking with some other people at that meeting. As a matter of fact, the American Antitrust Institute will be at that meeting. Monsanto, Bayer Crop Science North America, Syngenta, Dow AgriSciences, and DuPont. They're all going to be at that judiciary meeting that's coming up Tuesday of next week. And of course, as we know that all these companies, National Farmers Union, American Farm Bureau, National Corn Growers, and the Pork Producers Council, not exactly up with what's going on with these major acquisitions trying to make six companies three. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.